The reading is from Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen. As we continue to look at Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we come to this prayer of Paul's in Ephesians 3. It's a prayer for Christians living in Ephesus. Early this year, while on a retreat, I was really encouraged to look more closely at how Paul prays. And we can find that documented throughout his letters in the New Testament. Today's reading, of course, is just one of them. There are many. Paul's commitment to prayer is inspirational. And how he prays is really interesting when you dig into it. If we follow Paul's model for prayer, I believe that it has the potential to transform our prayer lives. I'm still very much a work in progress. I'm still really studying Paul's prayers, but it's certainly making a difference. One striking thing about Paul's prayers is how committed he is to praying for others and how he tells them he's praying for them. And he does that not to boast or brag, obviously, by way of an encouragement to them. He also recognises the importance of asking others to pray for him. And he does that on at least 8 occasions in his letters. Now I'm going to come back to Ephesians 3, but I just want to draw out one of the other prayers, just as another example really. And it's the one from 1 Timothy chapter 2, which you can find in the opening 4 verses. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Paul sees prayer as urgent. There it is in that first verse, I urge you. And he strongly believes that prayer is required by everyone and for everyone. Be made for all people, he says. And he means everyone, for kings and all those in authority. Now, they're people that we may think are too big and powerful for those of us with little or no influence to pray for, but absolutely not. We must pray for them. When it comes to the content of our prayers, he advocates petition, intercession, and thanksgiving. And that actually follows Jesus' own template for prayer, which we can find in the Lord's Prayer. Thanksgiving, I think, is self-explanatory. We are giving thanks to God for all that he has done and is doing. And yet, it can be something we omit, and that can be because sometimes we get a little bit wrapped up in our troubles and we fail to see the blessings and have that gratitude. But I think perhaps more commonly, we are very quick to go to our little shopping list that we have, those lists that we have of needs that we just want to get to God ASAP. And so we skip the Thanksgiving bit. But we shouldn't be doing that. It's important to give God thanks for all that he's done and all that he's doing. When it comes to the other main two types of prayer that Paul highlights, we have petition and intercession. Now, there's just a slight difference between those. Petition is bringing our personal needs to God, while intercession is bringing the needs of others to God. In the prayer in Ephesians 3, we see how Paul actually weaves thanksgiving into the entire prayer. He weaves thanksgiving into the intercession side of the prayer. And he does it through words of adulation and praise. And within the prayer in Ephesians, there are then two main prayers and they're intercessions. They're for the Ephesians. The first we find in verse 16, that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Paul's words are eloquent and poetic. But you know, we don't all have to have that kind of vocabulary, and it doesn't matter. Paul is simply asking God to strengthen the Ephesians through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that an amazing prayer? Sometimes I think we get bogged down in our prayers by listing what we think people need rather than what they really need. And that is just strength in the Lord, strength that comes from the Holy Spirit in their lives. Paul's desire in making this prayer is that the Ephesians experience more of Christ's presence through a deepened faith. And then he moves on to the second petition. And that comes in verses 17 to 19. Let me read that again. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Here is Paul's request for Christian unity, grounded in the immeasurable love of Christ. Again, there is no trace of the shopping list prayers. And I know that if I'd been Paul, I'm fairly confident that I would have been tempted to pour out all the things I could see wrong with the Ephesian Christian community and list the remedies as I perceive them. Lord, heal the rifts between X and Y. Help so-and-so to be more generous. Make the church on the square be more welcoming, etc., etc. Paul's petitions, his intercessions, encompass all of that by simply asking for an outpouring of Christ's love in all and in other prayers that includes himself. Something else worth noting about Paul's prayers, including this one in Ephesians, is how he incorporates the Trinity, how he identifies that prayer involves God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three persons of God. He kneels before the Father. He identifies the Father as being the source of all blessings. He highlights that transforming power of prayer works through the Holy Spirit's presence in us and through the love of Christ the Son. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at work at the heart of prayers and need to be at the heart of our prayer life. Paul also makes a point of his own role in the effectiveness of prayer, the need for faith. We have to have faith. That's an essential ingredient of prayer. Now, while Paul's prayers are inspirational and a fantastic model for praying, which I'd encourage you to use in your own prayer life, try to get rid of those lists, try to get rid of those solutions we find from our heads and hearts and present them to God. Let's just leave God to come up with the solutions. That's really why we're coming to in prayer, isn't it? Let's set all that aside, but let's not get bogged down by language, because remember, and I say this regularly, remember that prayer is simply spending time with God, talking to him and listening to him. In my work as a chaplain, I so often get asked to pray for people and they will say to me, no, please you pray I don't want to, I don't know what to say, I don't have the words. We shouldn't let fear of using the wrong words or asking for the wrong things be a barrier to praying. God just wants us to come to him, spend time with him, to talk to him, to listen to him. We are just entering conversation with our Father, our friend, and our daily helper.